Welcome to the weekly Haftarah on Parshas Bahaloscha. Last time we left off with a question. The Navi is asking for Hashem's help against his enemies, yet he invokes the name Elohim, which is Midas Adin. Why would he use that name? Perhaps we can answer with an amazing insight of the Katakemech. As you all know, we circled the Bima once with our Lulavim on the first 6 days of Sukkot, and circled it 7 times on Hashanah Rabbah. This is Zecher LeMikdash, with the Kahanim circled the Mizbeach once per day on the first 6 days, and 7 times on Hashanah Rabbah. The Yerushalmi in Sukkah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Gimel, explains that this was also Zecher LeYerichai, the same way they encircled Yerichai for 7 days before the walls collapsed. The Katakemech explains that the Hakafas brought down Midas Adin onto Yerichai, which caused the walls to collapse. Similarly, by encircling the Mizbeach, the Kahanim brought Midas Adin onto our enemies. We do the same with our Lulavim, bringing Midas Adin on to our enemies. Perhaps this is also the deeper explanation of the Taz, who says in Siman Tov Reish Samach that an Avel does not circle the Bima because Midas Adin is upon him, just as he does not take the Amid on days when we do not say Tachanun. Since the entire Sibur joins to bring down Midas Adin on the nations, he cannot participate since he personally has a Midas Adin upon him. Based on this, we can explain that the Navi needed to invoke Midas Adin, since he was asking Hashem to bring his wrath on the nations who harmed us. This week's parsha opens with the discussion about the menorah. So the Haftarah, Roni V'Simchi, discusses the nevuah involving a menorah. The Haftarah for Habayloscha is the same as Shabbos Chanukah. Earlier, the Navi said that Hashem will punish the nations that harm us. Now he says that Hashem will dwell among us, and many goyim will convert. Has kol basar b'pnei Hashem, for Hashem is acting from His holy place. The Radak says that this nevuah refers to our future redemption, while the rest of the selection concerns the immediate future, the building of the Bayis Sheni. Yeshua, the future kohen gadol, is standing before the Malach, with the Satan standing to his right. While the Metzudas understands this literally as the Malach who entices a man to sin, the Ibn Ezra and the Radak explain that the Satan here is a person. In the first year of his rule, Koresh allowed Yidden to return to Eretz Yisrael, returning the holy vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had looted from the Beis HaMikdash, and authorized them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They got as far as laying the foundation until their enemies, the local rulers and many non-Jewish nations that had settled in Eretz Yisrael, sent a letter to the king. They warned that if the Mikdash in Yerushalayim was rebuilt, it would result in a rebellion and a great loss to the kingdom. Koresh rescinded his permission, and our enemies maintained this campaign throughout the reigns of the subsequent kings. The project was halted for 18 years until the second year of Dayavash, the son of Esther and Achashverosh. These evil men, the local rulers and inhabitants, were the Satan, trying to prevent the construction of the Mikdash. Hashem denounced the Satan and called Yeshua Ud Mutzal Meyesh. The Gemara explains in Sanhedrin, Daf Sadik Gimel Amid Aleph, that 2 false prophets were accused of a serious crime by Nebuchadnezzar. When they claimed that Hashem had instructed them to act this way, Nebuchadnezzar responded that he would test them with fire, just as he tested Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They responded that special protection could only be achieved with 3 people and requested to include Yeshua. The king agreed and threw all 3 men into the fire. Only Yeshua survived, thus earning the title Ud Mutzal Meyesh. The Yerushalmi explains in Tainus Perek Dalet Halacha Hey that 80,000 Kahanim were trapped in the flames as the Beis Hamikdash burned. Of all those precious lives, only Yeshua survived, and that's why he had that title. Yeshua was wearing filthy clothing for his sons married women who were not fit to marry Kahanim. The Malach ordered Hasiru HaBegodim HaTzoyim, hinting that his sons should do tshuva and divorce those wives. The Navi requested that they also place Soniftar on his head, which represents his installment as the Kohen Gadol. The Malach told Yeshua that if he keeps all the mitzvahs, guides the nation, and maintains Kedusha of the new Mikdash, then Menasati Lecha Malachim Bein Oyimdim Ha'ela, a term from Malachim, who do not sit down. As the Gemara says in Chagiga, Daf Tes Vav Amid Aleph, Targum Yonison says that this refers to Tchias HaMesim. While Rashi explains this is a promise that his sons will be righteous. Yeshua stood with his fellow miracle men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who also survived the flames. Hashem promised the arrival of Zerubbabel, who will lead the people in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The stone, the foundation of the Mikdash that had been installed all those years earlier, will expand, and the Beis HaMikdash will finally be built, and everyone will live peacefully. The Malach returned to Zechariah and woke him, symbolizing that the people were asleep, giving up their hope and aspirations to build the Mikdash. Now it is time to awaken and energetically start the project. Now the Navi sees the vision of the Menorah. It is pure gold with seven lamps. There is a reservoir over it with seven tubes leading to each lamp. Two olive trees are there, one each side of the reservoir. The olives fall directly into the reservoir, are pressed into oil, and the oil drains into the lamps. The Navi did not understand the symbolism of the olives being pressed into oil without any human involvement. The Malach explains that this is the message of Zerubbabel. Loi b'chayel, loi b'koyach, ki im beruchi. Just as the oil is extracted from the olives without human intervention, so too the Mikdash will be built without resorting to any force or trickery. Indeed, this is what actually occurred, as the king permitted the construction without any force or political intervention. The huge mountain, the governor of the land who disrupted the project, will become a flat plain, incapable of causing any trouble, for Hoitzi Yasa Eben Harosha, and all will praise the beautiful construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. There is a question regarding the choice of the Haftarah. When there are two Shabbosos in Chanukah, we lay in Roni Vasimchi on the first week and Vayas Chiroim, which discusses the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash on the second week. The Levush in Simon Tov Reish Chav Dalet explains that Roni Vesimchi has precedence, since it contains a nevuah for the future. The Aliyah Rabbah, on the other hand, explains that we prefer Roni Vesimchi, since it discusses the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is when the miracle of Chanukah took place. The Levush approach would also explain why we choose Roni Vesimchi for Habaloscha, but the Aliyah Rabbah's explanation has no bearing here. Why then do we lay in Roni Vesimchi this week, and not Vayas Chiroim? Have a wonderful Shabbos.